Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amud, where at the end of the line it says Shema Mina. And as you recall, we were just finishing off a machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda as far as what is the material that you can use for building a sukkah. And Reb Yehuda said something which is quite fascinating. Reb Yehuda says that just like for the lulav, you can only use the arba minim, that's the lulav, the esrig, the hadasim, the arovois. So too, when it comes to the sukkah, you can only make it out of the arba minim. And when we discussed this yesterday, Rabbi said that that's not absolutely correct, because at maximum we could be talking about the three minim. We could not be talking about the esrig, since an esrig is an ochel, and by definition all ochlin are mekabel tuma. In fact, afterwards I discussed it with some of the Anshi HaKolel, and they said it's not that simple, because there's in fact a shaila whether a food item that is not mukhshir lekabel tuma, whether or not that would be ro'i for schach. Because although it can be mekabel tuma, if it has not touched any mashka yet, at this point in time, it's not roi lekabel tuma. So there's a shaila about that, whether or not it could be. So theoretically, at least, you could use esroigim for schach as well, as long as they're not mukhshir lekabel tuma, at least according to that havamina. But anyway, but getting back to the Gemara, bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can only use for schach the arba minim, which is lulav and the hadasim and arovois, and we can put esrig on the side. Freik di Gemara, umi amar Yehuda arbas minim in midi achrina loy. You can only use the arba minim for schach, but tani will end in the braisa. And this goes back towards the beginning of our Masechta. We had a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel as to how we understand the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda in what was called the Gezeiras Tikra. Gezeiras Tikra is that if you're going to use on the top of your sukkah boards which are similar to the boards that you use in the top of your ceiling, there's some background noise, so please, everybody, kindly mute yourselves. Everybody, please put yourselves on mute. Getting back to the Gemara once again, we had a Gzeiras Tikra. Gzeiras Tikra means that if you're going to go and use usual, normal, regular boards for purposes of your schach, even though they are perfect in every other respect, they're not mekabel tuma because they're pshuti kliyets, they do the karka because they grow from the ground, it's part of a tree. Nevertheless, it's a machloikis whether you can use those regular nasar. What was the machloikis? That if a person has those identical planks on the top of his ceiling in his own house, and he's going to see that the builders of the sukkah are using those same planks on the top of the schach of the sukkah, he'll say, what, I'm crazy? What do I have to go outside for and sit in this hut for the next 7 days using the same schach that I have at home? It's exactly the same. What difference does it make? So because of the Gzeiras Tikra, it says in the Mishnah that you cannot use boards. The question, however, is what is the size of the boards? We had a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Our Gemara is quoting a braisa which goes according to Shmuel. Watan yisichcha ben asarim shel erez, sheyesh ben dalet tvachim. If the width of each of these boards is 4 tvachim, that was considered to be the standard building materials that they use in those days. Just like we say today, you take a 2x4, so there it was a 4 tefach wide nasor board. Everybody would agree this is a Gzeiras Tikra, because these are identical to what I use in my own dining room. So what difference does it make if I stay in my house or I go to the sukkah? Ain ben dalet fachon. What happens if they're less than dalet fachon? That's already machloikus from Meir Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir's poisel. Reb Yehuda is machshir. Moid Reb Meir. Shem yesh ben nasser lenasser. Kimloi nasser. What you can do is you can go and put up, for instance, 3 tvachim wide nasserim. And then what you do is, or even 4 wide tefachim nasarim, which normally, of course, apostle could eat to everybody. But what you can do is you can fill up the space, take out one nasar between each pier of nasarim, and you can have, the Gemara earlier said it's talking about a sukkah which was exactly 8 amos wide. Since it had 8 amos wide, you had the benefit of doifin akuma. So you put down one nasar and then kosher schach, another nasar and then kosher schach. And you did that a few times on the right, and you did that a few times on the left, until you had kosher schach in the middle. Let's do a quick cheshbon. We haven't reviewed this in a long time, but since you have to have 4 amas on each side for doifin akuma, every ama has in it 6 tvachim. 6 times 4 is 24 tvachim. So you can go and put down one nasir of 4 tvachim, which is a bad schach, but then put down 4 tvachim of good schach. And then again, put down 4 tvachim and nasir of bad schach, and then of good schach. So we're up to now 16. Put up another nasir of bad schach, that would be 20. And now the final 4 tvachim of good schach would be there in the middle of the sukkah. And then start from the other side. Bad nasir, good schach. Bad nasir, good schach. Bad nasir, good schach. Ah! So you have 2 good schachs of 4 tvachim each, 4 plus 4. And then that would make the sukkah kosher, because since I have 8 tvachim together, that's more than the minimum size of a sukkah, which is 7 tvachim. Aye, what about all those bad nasarim? All those bad schachs will be taken up by the 4 amas of doif and akuma, and therefore it'll be a kosher sukkah. That was the cheshbon according to Meir. So again, umayd Meir shem yesh bein nasar lenasar kimloy nasar shem niach pesel benen. The word pesel over here means the ba'asvacha migarncha mikvecha. That means that you don't use in the goyin and the yekid, but rather the fall off that you don't use. So it's ironic, but the word meniach, the word pesel over here doesn't mean pasel eschach, it means the kosher eschach. So meniach pesel benen v'kshayin is kosher. Now all of that is fascinating. Why did we bring this brisa? We brought the brisa because the brisa begins that sichcha ben asorim shel erez. Erez is typically translated as cedar. Freita Yomara, didn't you say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, did you have to use the 3 of the 4 minim, which means the lulav and the adasim and aravais? And here you're using erez. And you cannot say that this price is not going in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda features very prominently in this price. If you have nasorim, which are less than 4 tvachim, Rabbi Yehuda is machshir. I, Rabbi Yehuda, says you have to have from the arba minim. And for the Gemara, my erez, although it uses the term erez, which is cedar, it really means hodos. What do you mean, hodos? Ki Rabba Ravuna, the Rabba Ravuna, Amri Beirav, Asorim Mine Arozenhein. Although we talk about cedar as a broad category, but within the broad category of cedar, there are in fact altogether 10 subsets of growth of trees or bushes, which we would look upon as being, you know, regular. However, they are part and parcel of the Erez family. Shem, it says in the Pasuk, Etin Bamidbar Erez Shita Bahadas. So this Pasuk says, Etin Bamidbar, the Pasuk in Yeshaya. We're starting off, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to go and let grow in the Midbar. Midbar, of course, is a total wasteland. It's desert. Nevertheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to cause that there will be trees that will grow, and they will all be subsets of Erez. Right after Erez, it says Shita and Hadas and Echamin, 10 different types of Erez trees, all of which are part and parcel of the Erez family, and one of them is Hadas. So therefore, when it says in the Brisa that Sichab and Asarim Shel Erez, we're referring to, in fact, Shel Hadasim from the one of the 3 minim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah now. Remember in the Mishnah we had a big machloikis as to what the material that you could use for your agad. Agad, of course, as you know, means to tie together the 3 minim, the lulav, the aravos, and the hadasim. So in the Mishnah we had here on Lamed Vav Amid Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda said you can only use minoi, which means 1 of the 3, we of course typically use the leaves of the lulav. We make from that the koshek lach, and we make the those tabois, the ring lach around the lulav. That's like Rabbi Yehuda says, it's got to be done b'minoi. Or Rabbi Meir said, no, fill a b'chut b'meshicha. You can even use string, you can use cord, no problem. And then the Mishnah gave an example of the Anshi Yerushalayim, and the Braisa repeats that basically. It says, Yemara Tanya Omer Rabbi Meir, Ma'isa v'yakira Yerushalayim. The Masa was by the Chosh of Yidin Yerushalayim. Who are the Yakire? Rashi says, Nechbode Yerushalayim hu Ashirim. These were people that were very, very precious. Baruch Hashem, they were wealthy. They were among the mechubadim, among the nobility of Yerushalayim. What would they do? Show you oydenes lulaveim begimoynir shel zav. They didn't go and put on like we do, make ringlech out of the lulav leaves, but they actually used gimoynir shel zav. What exactly are gimoynirs? So Rashi said gimoynirs means chute zav. Kifufin, kigimoin, alshem halakoyf ka'agman rashi. I'm looking at the Rashi in the Mishnah on Lamed Vov Amid Beis. So these are chutei zohar. We're talking about gold strands, but these weren't just simple strands, but they were kifufin. They were bent over, kigimoin, alshem halakoyf ka'agman. So that would be like someone who's hunchbacked, who's bent over. These two, these chutei zohar, were bent over, and they were tied to the lulav. Ah, so you see from that, says Rameyer, you don't have to go and use lulav leaves or dafka from the three minim. You can go and use from anything, even gemara shel zav. Amruloi, so they responded to Rameyer, Misham raya, b'mino yoy oydin oysoy milmata. You don't realize it, Rameyer, but in fact, the real true igud was done with lulav leaves or Hadassah Marovois. However, on top, they put the Gimoni Shel Zov. The one means on top. So the Meiri has two pshat, and we mentioned this briefly yesterday in the Mishnah. One pshat is that the real McCoy, the real tying of the three minim, was down below, you know, typically where you would hold it, or close to you would hold it with your hands. That was made with the Minoi, like we had in the Mishnah. And up above, they put another such ringola made out of gold. Why? To add to it beauty and glory and majesty. It should really look like a real beautiful lulav with the Hadassah Menorahs. But the real ego that kept it together, kept it strong, was the lulav or the hadas or rava that they wound around the three minim to keep it in place and to make it a real agad. So that's one pshat. Another pshat, says the Meiri, is that the Gemoni Shel Zov were placed directly on top of the igud made by the lulav. So take, for instance, just like we have our ringelach that we make from the lulav leaves, they have the exact same thing. But to make it nice and pretty, on top of that, they added an additional layer of these Gemoni Shel Zov, right smack on top of them. That's why you didn't see it, because it was a cover-up. Was covered over. But bottom line is, the real igud was done through the three minim and not through the zav. Okay, now from here until the Mishnah on the Amud Beis, we're going to have seven or eight different halachis of Rava, all related to Inyane Arba Minim, except for one, as we'll see mentioned in the Amud Beis. And in most cases, Rava had something to say, either to agree or to disagree, as we'll see in Mi'at Hashem and Digmar. So Zok Digmar, Omlu Rava, L'hano Migadli Hoshana Debei Reish Kalusa. Rava said to those that were Megadli Hoshana, as we know, the Gemara before has told us the word Hoshana was often used in the times of the Gemara to refer to the three Minim as they are bound together. So, he told those that were binding these Hoshanas. And Rashi, by the way, says that the word migadle has a much more generic sense to it. It's not just those that are doing the igud of the lulav, but that's what we're talking about over here, that they are doing the agad of the lulav. But says Rashi that it's a lashon hashas. Anybody that is putting together in a professional manner anything, He is a megadol. Rashi says you can have megadol tanuri. Tanuri, of course, are referring to stoves or ovens. Nobody's megadol them. Nobody goes and ties them up. So the word megadol means really to manufacture, to produce. So Rabbi was talking to those people in the Beit Reish Kalusa that were in charge of binding together the three minim. And he would say to them, Ki gadliso ishan at the Beit Reish Kalusa, when you would do that, Shairi bei beis yad, leave over a beis yad, ki hech loy tehev a chatzitza, so it shouldn't be a chatzitza. So what means a beis yad? So poshpshap, a beis yad means that you have a long lulav, put your three minim, the hadas and the rovis, and the koishikloch in the middle, and therefore that the owner of this lulav, who's going to shake the lulav, should be able to hold the lulav from the bottom, instead of holding it at the mokoim of the koishikol, of the agar. Why? Says Rashi, because Rabbi held that agar is not really part of the mitzvah. As you recall, we had a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, whether you need agar or not. Rabbi Yehuda says you need agar based on the fact that it says, ulekachtem lochem, uloshem lekicha, and it says in Mitzrayim, ulekachtem agudas eizoiv, utvaltem batom asher basov. So just like by that tvila, it was an agudas eizoiv, here too we're talking about an aguda, that it's tied together. And the Rabban, as you recall, did not learn that drush of lekicha lekicha, but they also agreed that lechatchila one should do an agar because it adds to the beauty. Ze keli ve'adveyu, alza hidur mitzvah. So Rabba holds like the Rabban, that you don't have to do an agar. Since you don't have to do an agar, it's just, in a sense, something nice. But if you're going to hold on to that with your hand, in other words, you're holding on to the lulav, and your hand is not touching the lulav and the hadasim and the rovais, but you rather have your hand around that koshikul, which binds the three together, says Rabba, you are having now a chatzitza between your hand and the three minim. And if you have a chatzitza, you're not mekayim the din of lekicha. Lekicha means you got to hold it in your hand. And therefore he said, leave over a beis yad, leave over enough space at the bottom of your lulav so you can go and grab it with your hand without having the koshikol there in your hand.
The koshikol, you'll only be holding the lulav, you won't be holding the adas and the arabos.
You're raising a good issue, you're raising a good issue. The Gemara doesn't specifically address that. Presumably, what Rabbi was saying is, leave some of the bottom of the hadassim and the rovis to stick out. In most cases, I'm sure, in the case of your own lulav, after you insert the hadassim and the rovis, you have the parts sticking out on the bottom. And so presumably he was saying is, you'll hold on to the lulav, the hadassim and the rovis, with your hand, without holding on to the koshikol in between, because that is a chatzitza. So therefore, you will be holding on to all three with your actual hand. That was what Rabbi told those Megadli Hoshan. Rabbi said, Rabbi, with all due respect, since the purpose of that koshikol is not just a wrapper for convenience, but this is Lina Oisai, it's part of the mitzvah, it's Hidur mitzvah. So therefore, if you grab onto the koshikol, you're Ulza Yoitza. Because not only are you holding on to the three minim, you're holding on to the three minim, Vederach Hidur. Benoy. So it's even better. You don't have to leave over Beis Yad after all. Amachlekes. And now we have something very similar. The Omer Rabba, Lelimkin Inish Hoshana Besudra. What happens if a person wants to hold on to the three minim, and he decides to go and put a sudr? He takes a scarf, he takes a handkerchief, and he holds the three minim through that sudr. Says Rabba, don't do it. You have to have a lekachtem, and this is not a lekichatama, because you're holding on to the sudr. What's going on? Well, Rava Amar lekicha de devarach eshma lekicha. Rava says it is okay. Now, before we focus on Rava, lechayre we have an obvious question, and that is Rava's lechayre repeating the same halacha. First halacha was with respect to don't hold it by the koshikol, hold it by the lulav itself. And the second halach is, don't hold it with a sudr in between, hold it with your hand. Now, if both of those are the same halacha, why doesn't Rabbi use the same term don't use a sudur ki heichi to like to have a chatzitza. L'choy don't have a chatzitza, just like the koshikul is a chatzitza, then the sudur is a chatzitza. So this is not my kasha. This is the toises down below. This is a very fascinating toises over here. It's a second wide line down below. The ina licha kicha tamba v'lekav hachalei shayach lemeimer to like to have a chatzitza ki amal el. Why didn't we use the same term? Don't use a sudur because that's a chatzitza. Says Toisa del El Ayri Kishi Yoigad Belulav, Yeegad Belulav, Vahocha Kishi Korach Biyodoi, Ubedover Korach Biyodoi Loishai Chatzitza. If it's on the lulav itself, that is a chatzitza. If it's on your hand, it's not a chatzitza. Why, if it's on your hand, it's not a chatzitza? Presumably, what Toisa means is that when you're holding it in your hand, it's almost like a glove. A lot of people today, especially during the COVID times, that were wearing these plastic gloves. So he's wearing his glove on his hand, so it becomes bottled to his hand, if you will, and therefore it's not deemed to be a chatzitza. But Toisa says, that's a very difficult pshat, because we have the famous story about the infamous Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi, that whenever he did the avodah of the Beis Hamikdash, he used to go and korach yodi bishiroi, he used to go and put around his hands such a beautiful garment, v'ovid avodah. And the Kehanim screamed at him, they got angry at him, and what are you doing? What's the problem? Didn't we just say now that you can go and put this around your hand? It's not considered to be a chatzitza. Why were they screaming at Yisach Ishkvar Bar Koi? So Toisa says that they weren't screaming at him by the fact that he was holding the sudur or holding the shiroi. They were screaming at him because it was a bizoyon. Why was it a bizoyon? Because everybody knew that the reason why he was put this shiroi around his hands because he didn't want to get his hands bloody with the dam of the Evorim or the dam of the Zrika or holding on to the Aymarin, and therefore that's why he would always be very, very careful to go and cover his hands with shiroi. But not because he wanted to go and add glory, but to the contrary, he didn't want to get his hands dirty with Kodshei Shammai. So that's the reason why they got angry at him. So, according to this first pshat of Toisis, wearing such gloves, wearing a sudur, is not a chatzitza. And that's why the Gemara doesn't use the term chatzitza. That's one pshat. But then Toisis on the bottom gives yet a second pshat. And if you look at the Yesh Loimar, three lines before the end of the Toisis, towards the end of the line, Tamayri she'osem min hasudur kimin besiyad lelulav. Vein shaykh kan chatzitza, shekol halulav chutz miyodoi, vi oyse bebeis yad haboilet, hanasim en asudr. What is this all about? What Toisa is saying is, when we're talking about using the sudr to hold the lulav and esrik, or at least hold the lulav and the other, to mean him, it doesn't mean that he took the sudr and wrapped it around either his hand or the lulav as he's holding it. But rather, he made a besiyad, like a handle. And many of you, when you have your plastics that you put your lulav in, it has a handle on the side, or has a handle on the top, and therefore you can go and carry the lulav the whole day without actually touching the lulav, and without even touching the main plastic, you're holding the handle of the plastic. So that's what they did with this handkerchief. They put it together in a very nice way, to make a handle on the lulav, either from the side or from the bottom. And therefore, when you're holding the lulav, you're not holding the lulav itself, you're holding the beis yad of the lulav. Since you're holding the beis yad of the lulav, there's no chatzitza. Chatzitza would be if you're holding the lulav itself in your hand, and around the lulav, or around your hand, you have another material. Here he's not holding the lulav, he's holding the beis yad on the side. That's what Rashi says. V'oysam v'esiyad ha-boilet, ha-nasim and ha-sudr, v'domi le-ezav, similar to the ezav that we're going to have now in another moment. And finally, the Toisis brings, in the last line, v'lulav shahoytzi be-kli, the soif perkin, they used to go and carry the lulav in a kli, in other words, those were the forerunners of our modern-day plastics. Loi b'sha-oychiz b'defani ha-kli, el-meniach yodei tachas shulav, also over there is talking about that he's holding on to a handle of sorts, or he's holding on to the bottom, but it's not that he's talking about the Tefania Kli, but Nich Yodei Tachas Shulav, underneath it. Okay, anyway, we'll get to that later in the parak. But that's the reason why the Gemara doesn't use the term chatzitza, because in fact this Beis Yad was not a chatzitza. But nevertheless, says Rava, don't go and hold on to the lulav and the adasim and the rovois by using the handle. You're not even holding on to the shalosh minim. That's not a likicha. That's holding on to the handle. It's not holding on to the lulav. You're not holding on to the adasim and the rovois. And therefore, no good. Well, Amar Rava, says Rava, or Rava Amar, likicha yidei davarachashma likicha. No, even holding on to such a handle does work after all. Why does it work? What's the raya? I'll bring you a raya. And now we're learning the halacha legabe mechatzis, paraduma water. To go and spritz the paraduma water, you cannot do that with your fingers. You have to go and take ezoiv. In English, that's called hyssop. And you take the ezoiv, you dip it into the mechatzis, and then you give a spritz on the person or on the kli that became tummy tumas mes. Okay, so now, our Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what the situation was, but Rashi fills in the blanks. We're talking about a person that had a shveiferis. Shveiferis is like a tube, or if you want, a long bottle, where you want to dip the azoid into that bottle, and the bottle has on the bottom of it mechatas. The azoid, however, that you have is not long enough to touch the bottom. And if you're just going to drop the azoid in, it's going to be hard to extract the azoid from this tube, from this bottle, from this pipe. So what would you do? Azoid kotzer, if it's a short azoid, misapkoi b'chut u'b'kush. What you can do is you can supply the azoid so that it should touch the water down below in this shveiferes by either going and tying around a chut, a string, or put a kush. Kush literally is a spindle. Spindle is a very, very thin piece of wood that was used by the weavers to go and separate between one strand and the other when the strands got too close together in the weaving loom, on the weaving loom. So this was a spindle. If you could think of it as a kind of a long, very long match. You sometimes get these decorative long matches. So it's a long piece of wood, but very, very thin. And what they would do is would stick it into that azoiv, like spear it, put it down all the way at the bottom of this shveferes, and lift it out again. The toivel, umala, and then oiches be'ezev, and then the person takes the azoiv in his hands, umaza, and he spritzes on the individual. Zokt Gemara, zokt Rava, Amai, how will you yoitze by putting the azev in such an extraordinary fashion, by attaching it to a chut or a kush? Amai v'lokach v'tovel, Amar Rachmana. The Torah says b'feirish, v'lokach azev v'tovel b'mayim ishtar. A person has to take that azev and he has to go and be toivel it b'mayim. So the person has to take it v'lokach, just like our ulekachtem. How will you yoitze by toiveling it with a chut or a kush? That even though your fingers didn't reach down to the bottom of the shveferes and you weren't holding on to the ezoiv with your fingers, you were holding on to the ezoiv with this chut or kush, that's chut. Now, even though the Mishnah says at the end, that once you pull the ezoiv out, you put it back in your hands and give hazor, Rashi says that according to Rava, you could even go and continue holding the ezoiv with a chut and use that for spritzing on someone. The only reason why we don't do it, says Rashi, is because of the practicality. If you're going to take the ezoiv, hold it on with the same string, and direct it towards a person with the water of the mechatas on it, guess what? That ezoiv might go a little bit veered to the right or veered to the left. Once you're throwing it with a string, you don't have any dominion over it, no control over it, and therefore it can just spritz in all directions. So that's why you go and hold it in your hand. But so you don't even have to hold it in your hand. Because
is hanging on a thread. Exactly.
Shkoyach. Ah, beautiful. Thank you very much. So that's l'chayr Rav Israel. What's the raya? Kiven de chavrei kigufei domi. Maybe over there it's different. Why over there is different? Because since you tied it fast with this string or with this kush, it's as if you're holding it in your own hand. In other words, instead of having your hand try to go into this very narrow container to get to the bottom, holding the eggs, your hand is too fat, or your shvaferis, the opening to Shvaferis is just too narrow, you cannot put your hands in. So the way you're holding onto the Ezoiv is by being mechaberit to either the string or to this kush. So that's kigufei dami. It's as if you're holding on to the actual Ezoiv itself. But in our Gemara, it's not that same degree of chibur. We're talking about that you made a handle to the lulav on the side or on the bottom. So the Gemara doesn't consider that to be the same degree of chibur, and maybe that's not, you're not yoytze with such a lekicha yidei dovrach. Says Gemara, you know what? Elamihacha. I'm going to bring you a second raya, says Rava. Nofal mishvei feres leshoikis posel. What is this referring to? Shoikis is a trough, the type of trough that is used by animals to drink from. But here we're using a trough to go and fill with water. And after we fill the water, we're going to go and pour in some of the Afer of the Afer Chattas. And the reason why we have to go and put the water in first, because it says Venosan Mayim Chaim El Keli, the Mayim Chaim has to hit the Keli, and then on top of that you put the Afer Chattas. Okay. Now there's a din, you have to go and take the Afer Chattas and put it in the water. Now what happens over here? No for me Shwaferis Shoikis. Your Afer Chattas was in the Shwaferis. You want to take it out and put it into the Shoikis, and by accident, nofal, the Afer Chattas fell into the Shoikis. Not that you took it with your hands, it fell in. Possible. No good. Part of the avoida, part of the process is you have to take it with your hands and put it in. Venosan, all of. Venosan, you got to go and do Messina with your hands. Izach mashma, hohi piloi, hu kosher. What happens if instead of taking out the ash and putting it onto the water, you went and spilled it over, you know, as if you are spilling the havdil ketchup from a bottle, or mustard, or salt. So you take now the shweferis, turn it upside down in your maple, and you pour out some of the ash into the water. It's mash, that would be kosher, because the only problem, as we said, was that nofel, it fell on its own. You didn't do your own action. It's mash, if you did it, it would be kosher. Why would it be kosher? Doesn't say in the pasuk v'lokhu latame miyafas reifasachatzes v'nosan olav. It's got to be lekichu nesina with your own hands. Elamai. It doesn't mean that with your hands that you have to go and take it physically with your fingers. Amrachmana elav shmami no lekicha idei davarach shmo lekicha. So therefore, says Rava, I have yet another raya. The lekicha idei davarach works, and therefore I respectfully disagree with Rabba. You could take your lulav and esrig with a handle. The Omer Rabba says, Rabba, I have another halacha. Loi lodut inish lulav b'yishana de dilma natri tarfi v'ab chatzitza. Oh, another chatzitza issue. We have the kosher kruch. You already put in your hadasim and a ravois, and now you're putting in your lulav. Most people put in their lulav first, and the hadasim and ravois second. Here, he did it the other way around. Says, Rabbi, don't do it that way. You know why? Because of the force of the lulav entering into this agad, you might go and by accident push off, tear off some of the leaves of either the hadassim or the arabis. Now, the ways our kosher kluch are made, typically this wouldn't happen because you usually have the large opening is for the lulav and then you have these two side openings for the hadassim and arabis. But even there too, if depending on how long your kosher kluch is, if it's a rather short one, the lulav, as you know, goes through and it eventually touches the hadassim and arabis. And if it's narrow and this is a wide lulav, you could have a little bit of traffic, a head-on collision, if you will, and some of the leaves will fall off. Now the chatzitza, Rashi says over here, is not the chatzitza between the person's hands and the lulav and esrig, or the lulav and the hadassim and arabis, but rather that some of those alim will get stuck inside the agad, and they're choitzitz bein min lemin. Well, what does that mean? Some of the hadassim leaves are going to fall out, they're going to fall off, and they're going to remain within the koshiko, as well as some of the arova leaves may fall off and stay within the koshiko. And now when you're holding them, you are holding the hadassim, when the hadassim are not actually touching the lulav, but rather in between the hadas and the lulav, you have these loose hadassim leaves, which of course are not kosher anymore, like we had in the Mishnah before, nifritzu alav, that pasled. Now we're not talking about that roiv of the leaves fall off. If roiv of the leaves fall off, you can have the whole hadas become pasled. We're just talking about a leaf over here and a leaf over there, but the other leaves we have left on the stem, and therefore those leaves that have been uprooted will act as a chatzitza between the lulav and the hadas, and I have a new chatzitza problem on my hands, says Rabbi. Rabbi says, nah, it's an ishka problem, because min b'minoi ain't a chaitzitz. Worst comes to worst, you have hadassim leaves that are interfering between the lulav and the kosher hadas. Since hadassim leaves and hadas are both the same min b'minoi ain't a chaitzitz, it's not a problem, you don't have to worry. The Yom Rabbah, another issue. Loi ligois inish lulava b'ishana demishtari hutzava b'chatzitza. Ah, another similar issue. What happens if you have a very, 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 very long lulav, and it's so long, it doesn't fit into your plastic, and it's difficult to work with. So you say, well, I'm going to go and cut it. After all, this lulav originally was cut from the tree. I don't have the whole tree in my hand. They only have the lulav that was cut from the tree. And you're going to go and cut the lulav down to size. Obviously, you're not going to cut the top of the lulav, because then that would be cutting the tiyomis, that would be niktam rosho, and we already said in the Mishnah before, that would pasul the lulav. But you can go and cut the lulav from the bottom. And in fact, many of us, if you have long hadassim, and particularly if you have long aravois, they stick out of the kosher kol on the bottom, and it's just too long. In fact, sometimes it goes down lower than the lulav itself. So you can just cut the bottom off. Just make sure, of course, that you have the minimum of 3 tefachim for both the lulav, not for the lulav, for the hadassim and the rovois, and the minimum of 4 tefachim for your lulav. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with cutting the bottom of the lulav. The problem, however, is that if you cut the bottom of the lulav when the lulav is already in the koshikol together with the hadassim and the rovois, you know what's going to happen? You will have cut the lulav down to size, but some of the lulav leaves that were originally attached to that part where you cut the lulav short, those leaves will get stuck inside the koshikol. Meaning, if you want to go and cut the lulav gesunter height, obviously be careful as you're cutting it, you shouldn't cut yourself, and you shouldn't shake the lulav too much, because then you can go and break the tioimis, but we're assuming you're going to do a great job in your cutting. However, when you cut a lulav, and if it's not in the koshikol yet, then fine, after you cut off that piece, whatever leaves were attached to that piece will also fall together with it to the ground and finished. Fall on the table, wherever you're cutting it. However, if in the koshikol, you know what's going to happen? The leaves for which the base was cut off, those leaves will stay in. And they're going to be the chatzitza now between the lulav and the hadassim arovos. So just like we had before, the hadassim leaves or the arovos leaves are going to be chatzitza. Now we're going to have the lulav leaves are going to be, because these lulav leaves are not attached to the lulav. That's going to be a problem. So again, says Rabbah, Lo'ligo yisinish, don't cut your lulav ishana inside the ishana, meaning inside the agad, to mishtari hutza, because some of the leaves will remain behind v'ab chatzitza. For Rav Amman, the same thing again, mid b'minoi, einoi, chaitzit. The Omer Rabbah, next article. Hodah shel mitzvah, osel hariach bay. You're not supposed to smell the hadassim of the mitzvah, in other words, the hadassim that are used for the aramina. Esrik shel mitzvah mutal riach bay. However, you are allowed to smell the esrik. My time, what's the reason why? Because hadas del reicha koi. The whole purpose of hadassim is that min that yesh bay reach, that people throughout the year go and use hadassim for the beautiful smell. There's a minig in certain communities that they take hadassim every Shabbos and they go and smell them. So, my time, hadassim reicha koi ki aktia me reicha aktia. Since it's hooked to the mitzvah, say, you designated the hadasim for mitzvah for the entire 7 days, just like all the noy sukkah are hooked to the mitzvah, say. Here too, the hadasim are hooked to the mitzvah. Some, their muktzahs don't have hanor. It's almost like a case of me'ila. Obviously, we're not talking about kodshim. We're talking about having hanor from the mitzvah of taking a reach. And therefore, this is prohibited. Why don't we have the same?
There's no me'ila. There's no me'ila by reach kol and mara.
Kol mara v'reach ain by mishum me'ila. You recall that when we learned that sugya, and this comes up all the time, Barry, that the Gemara says that that's only at the time when it's still part of the incense. After the incense has been burned, and then the smoke goes up, that's already dovish ein by mamish. So the me'ila is only when it's still intrinsic in the incense. When when it already is after nasas mitzvosai, the smoke is going up, then there's no longer me'ila, and that's why you're allowed to smell the reyach of the incense, because it's already been burned. Here we're talking about that the reyach of the hadas is still in the hadas. In other words, the hadas is be'en, we're not burning it. So there were, and again, we're not talking about a real halacha me'ila, we're talking about having hano'ah from a mitzvah. So this is prohibited. However, the esrig de l'achila koi, esrig is not for purposes of smelling, it's for purposes of eating, it's a fruit. Ki aktia, when you are maktzit during the 7 days of Yontif for the Arba Minim, me'achila aktia, so you set it aside from achila and not from reach. So based on this Gemara alone, you would be able to smell the Esrig Shal Mitzvah. However, when this halach is brought in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Achrayim that we do not go and smell the Esrig, because we have a Shaila, what bracha do we make? Do we make the bracha before? Do we make the bracha afterwards? At what point? And therefore, it says one should not smell the Esrig either throughout the 7 days. But there is a minig in many communities that after Yom Tov is over, they do use those hadasim and the esrig for psamim on Matzah Shabbos, and that's why in some people they put it into the bottles together with some psamim, and they use that throughout the year, and in fact it has quite a nice scent. The Omer Rabbah, Noch Halacha, says Rabbah, Hodas b'mechuber mutal riach bay, esrig b'mechuber osal riach bay. Now this halacha is no longer referring to Hilchois Yom Tif, the Hilchois Arba Minim. This is halacha generically for all Shabbosis throughout the year. That Hodas b'mechuber mutal riach bay. If you go by a Hodas bush and you smell the Hadasim, you're allowed to go over and smell it on Shabbos. Esrig b'mechuber osal riach bay. But don't go and smell the Esrig b'mechuber. Why not? My time, because Hodas l'riach koi isharisa lele ozi l'migzayim. He has plenty of hanoah from the hodas, smelling it on the bush. He doesn't have to cut it off. He smells it there. He says, machai, it's delicious. It smells so wonderful, etc. So he doesn't have that urge to go and cut it. So I'm not afraid to make a gzeira that he's going to cut it. However, esrig, the lechila koi, esrig, which is meant for eating, isharisale, if you're going to go and say, oh, it's such a wonderful aroma, the person will say, you know what? Let me take this esrig home and I'll be able to squeeze it on my, use it for a salad dressing or whatever. Also, the Mixais, he might come to go and cut it on Shabbos. Because of that gzeira, they said, don't go and smell it. And then Rashi adds, what happens if a person, after he smelled it, he says, you know, it's so delicious, I'm not allowed to go and cut it because it's Shabbos, but let me take a bite out of it, because after all, I'm not going to cut it. I'm going to leave the esrig on the tree. I'm just going to go and take a bite. Says Rashi, Ein lecha toleish gadol mizeh. By biting the esrig, like biting an apple attached to the tree. So you've done a tlisha. You haven't done it in the traditional sense of cutting it with a knife or a sickle or just pulling it off with your hands. You've pulled it off with your teeth. And therefore, again, you would be over. That's why don't go and smell the esroigim that are mechuber on Shabbos. The Amar Abba, lulav b'yamin v'esrig b'smal. When you're holding the arba minim, as we know, you hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrig on the left hand. My time of why isn't the esrig considered to be more choshuv than the other three? Says Yomar, because hani t'losa mitzvahs v'hai chod mitzvah. This is three and this is one. The Yomar says three and one. We don't mean four separate mitzvahs. Everybody agrees Arba Minim is only one mitzvah, but he means it's three quarters of the mitzvah. This is one quarter of the mitzvah. You're holding three out of the four Minim. That's why hold the lulav on the Yamin. Why do we only make a brach on Tilas Lulav as opposed to Lulav and the Esrig and the Adas and Merav? After all, it's one big mitzvah. So it's not just a mitzvah of Lulav, it's a mitzvah of all four. Why do we make a brach on the Tilas Lulav? Because it sticks out more than all the others. In other words, it's the most prominent of the four in a physical way. Frank Demara, if you're telling me because it's the tallest, it's the highest, let him go and hold the lulav down, in a downwards manner. In other words, yeah, of course, hold it right side up, but put it closer to the ground. Let him take his left hand with the esrig and pick it up higher, and the esrig all of a sudden is going to be taller than the lulav, or at least higher than the lulav. So, and make a bracha now on the esrig. Of course you can go and handle the esrig and lulav any way you want, putting this higher, putting this lower. That's not what we mean. We mean that when it grows on the tree, that the highest of all the trees of the growth, that's the palm tree where the lulav grows, which is higher than everything else, and therefore it's the most prominent, and that's why we make the bracha on the lulav. Now that's, of course, all the pashup shat. The Meiri says something interesting, al pi drush, says the Meiri, as we all know, we have, in all the Svarim, it says that the reason why we take together all these four minim is because the Esrog has both tam and reach. You can both eat the Esrog and you can smell the Esrog. The Hadas is yesh boi reach, the ein boi tam. You can't eat the Hadassim. A lulav, yesh b'tam ve'ein b'reach. Although you can't eat the lulav itself, but the lulav is part of the date tree, the palm tree, and you can eat the date. So therefore, it's yesh b'tam ve'ein b'reach. And the aravus, ein b'em tam ve'ein b'em reach. You can't use them either for eating, and you can't use them for any delicious psamim, ein b'tam ve'ein b'reach. And so therefore, says the Meiri, putting the esrig aside, because the esrig is not part of the agad, and like the Gemara said before, you have three and one, so therefore it has a greater chashivus. That's why you have the lulav b'yamin. You have the lulav together with the other two. Says the Meiri, when the Gemara says hol b'minay gavoy mikulan, the fact that the lulav represents yesh b'itam, even though ein b'reach, but the other two are less than that because the hadas is only yesh b'reach ve'ein b'itam, and the aravus is ein b'itam ve'ein b'reach. So in Alpidrush, the lulav is gvoy mikulan in its midah that yesh baitam, and that's the reason why we make the bracha on the lulav and not on the others. Okay, on to the Mishnah. Zuk to Mishnah. The heichan hoyu menanin. We know that you have to go and shake the lulav back and forth, up and down. Where did they do that in the Yinuim? Says the Mishnah, b'hoidu l'ashem t'chila v'soif. When they say hoidu l'ashem t'chila v'soif, if you, in our halil, of course we divide it up into separate paragraphs, because we sing by the Hoidu, and then you have the Min HaMeitzer in between, and then you have the Ona Hashem towards the bottom. But if you look in Tilim, in Kuf Yud Ches, at the capital right before the long one, the Kuf Yud Tes, Kuf Yud Ches starts off, Hoidu L'Hashem Ki Tov Ki L'Elam Chastai, Yemino Yisrael Ki L'Elam Chastai, etc., etc. And then the final Pasuk of that capital is again, Hoidu L'Hashem Ki Tov Ki L'Elam Chastai, and then of course, in the Siddur, when we finish off Halal, we add the Alucha, and then we get to the Bracha at the end. But in the Tehillim, Kuf Yud Ches begins with Hoidu L'Hashem Ki Tov, and ends off the last Pasuk, Hoidu L'Hashem Ki Tov. And in fact, we all do the Nanum, as you all know, by the Hoidu L'Hashem at the beginning, and the final one, we do the Hoidu L'Hashem at the end. V'zeichon Oyim Enanim, B'Hoidu L'Hashem, T'chilu V'Saif. As well as, U'bon HaShem O'Yishiyana, Divrei Beis Hillel. So Beishamai agrees with Beis Hillel, Hoidu L'Hashem, On Hashem Oishina, he adds the On Hashem Atzlichana. Om Rav Akiva, Tzoyfa Yisi B'Ram Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua, I watched Ram Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua during the davening, Shekola Omo Yumananim Es Lulaveyem, everybody else was shaking the lulavim, meaning, like Beishamai, even by the On Hashem Atzlichana. The Haim, however, these two great giants, from Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua, Loinanu, they did not shake El Banashem Oishiyana like Beis Hillel. They did not learn like Beis Shammai. So one of the modern day poskim, I don't remember, I was learning with my son, he was quoting either Rav Eliashiv or Shlomo Zalman or someone, that if you happen to daven in a shul where they do fewer nanuim than you do, the Ashkenazim, they typically do the nanuim by all of the kilayim chasais, the Hoidu Lashem, the Yoyim Menu Yisrael, Yom Rebbe Saharan, they're constantly doing nanuim. We, those that do Nusach Sfar, just do the Hoidu Lashem Kitoiv at the beginning. We don't do all the others. And therefore, what happens if I'm an Ashkenaz guy and I'm coming into a shul and they do much fewer nanuim? Is there a problem of Lois's going to do that you're making different minhagim? So either Rav Eliashiv or Shlomo Zalman, one of them said, it's not a problem. We see from this Mishnah that Rav Akiva was in a shul where everybody else was doing multiple nanuim. They were doing fewer. Why don't we scream at them? Ay, Ram Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, how can you do differently than the Minig HaKohol? Shouldn't you be, aren't you Oiva Lois's going to do? And the answer is no. You just do your, just as long as everybody else is being Menanea, as it's, even though they do a few more, a few less, that's not considered to be a machloikas and minhag. Okay, Zokti Gmar. We started off the Mishnah of Heichan Oye Menanen, as if it's a Dover Poshet that you have to be Menanea. Now, I look in the Pasik. The Pasik says, well, Lekachtem Lechem. It doesn't say anything about Nianuim. Where does the Mishnah come from? It's like the first Mishnah in Brachis. Me'emesai koidin. The Gemara says, Me'echem koid, that you said Me'emesai. Where were you standing that all of a sudden you're asking, where do we say the Kriya Shema? Here too, where does it even say this is Dinam Ne'anuam? That you're saying, where should we make the Ne'anuam? Say, Timora, Ne'anuam man dechar shmei. Eftimor hasem koi. It's going on an earlier Mishnah. The first Mishnah in our parish. When we spoke about the Lulav, we said that the size of the Lulav, Kol Lulav, Sheyesh by Shloisha Tvachim, and remember the Gemara added a Vav, Ooh, Kedelin Anea boy, it has to be three Tvachim plus another Tefach to be able to go and shake it, is kosher. Ah, so the Mishnah tells us that the Lulav has to be shook. The comma, therefore, our Mishnah says, Eichmananen, where does that come from? Or not, where does it come from? But where do we do the Ne'anuim? At what part of the davening do we do the Ne'anuim? So, this is therefore a continuation from that Mishnah. So you're going to tell me, why didn't we say that Mishnah? Because we first listed the four separate minim and their individual psulim. We spoke about the Lulav, and the Hodos, and the Arava, and finally the Esrig. And now that we have finished the whole package of all the four minim, now we say, oh, let's go back now to the din of Ne'anuim. Tananasa. Since we're talking about Ne'anuim, we're going to bring something very, very similar. And that's the din of the Tanufa that we had on Shavuos. Throughout the year, typically they had Tanufas of Chozer V'Shoik. Chozer V'Shoik are the portions of the Shlomim that were given to the Kahanim. But when you did the Tanufa of the Chozer V'Shoik, those were, of course, pieces of the carbon after the carbon was already geshochten. Here we're talking about a Tanufa of something which is live, which is, of course, very uncommon. And we do it on Shavuos. Shavuos is a special mitzvah of the Shtei Alechem, and the matter of the Shtei Alechem is you bring the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, two special kvasim. So how did you do the Tanufa? The Pasuk says that you have to go and do a Tanufa. Shtei Alechem, Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, Keitzer Ois, what was the procedure? You take two alechem, you put on top of the kvasim, and if you want to see the posik, you look in the Rashi right before the wide lines. Rashi says down below, the heinef hakoyin oisam alechem ibkum tenufa lefnei Hashem al shnei kvasim koyin shiur Hashem, etc. So the posik there specifically says that the koyin takes the shtei alechem and the shnei kvasim. How does he do it? He puts the two alechem al gabi shnei kvasim on top of the two kvasim, umenich yodi tachtei, and he puts his hands underneath the kvasim, umeinith, umoylech, umeivi, male, umoyrid, shenemar, asher hunaf, asher huram. Aha. So this is very, very, very similar then to what we do with our lulavim. And that's why we're bringing this, because the Gemara is soon going to shtel tzu that the same thing is with our lulavim and our arvaminim. That means meinef u'moylech means that you do it from right to left, from east to west, if you will. Well, the malu moyrid means that you're doing it upwards towards the shemayim and low down towards us. So The Hunaf has the benefit of taking it the Arba Ruchais, and this goes up and down. It is Nochamu. The Asher Hunav Rashi points out, really doesn't say here in the parsha of the Shtei Lechem, but it's, since it's the same type of waving, therefore we're borrowing the pasuk from the Miluim, where we had the same type of situation. So Amar Rav Yochanan, when you do this, what do you have in mind? Since the Moiluchu maybe is, means that you're taking it from right to left to right, front to back, so that means the four Ruchais, that's north, east, south, and west. Here, when you're taking it up and down, that's your Malu Umayit. That's referring to Shemayim V'Aretz Shloi, and therefore referring in both cases to Rabbeinu Shloi. Rabbeinu Shloi that created the four different directions, the four different Ruchais, as well as the Shemayim V'Aretz. Marova Masnu Hachi in Eretz Yisrael, they said a little bit differently. By going and taking and doing the tenufa, the waving of the Shtei Lechem and the Kvasim right to left and up and down, that is, it has that koyach to go and be otzer, to stop and push away the bad ruchois, the bad demons, bad ruchois, as well as to be oitzer tloim roim, bad dues, whatever that means. What do I see from this halacha that shiore mitzvah ma'akven es peron? That even shiore mitzvah means a part of the mitzvah which is not ma'akev. It's a choshev ezach, but it's not ma'akev. Just like the din of tenufa, avada, when you're supposed to do the tenufa, the Torah says you're supposed to do the tenufa, but if you didn't do it, it's not ma'akev. Brings Rashi based on another gemara. And therefore, that being the case, it's shiur mitzvah. Nevertheless, it has that koyach to go be ma'akev the peronis, to go and push away the ruchais rois and tloim roim. Shehari tenufa shiur mitzvah by teres ruchais and tloim roim. So what does the Gemara mean to say? You have to be machshiv every single mitzvah, not only the core, the essence that's ma'akev the mitzvah. Even the shirayim can be oitzer. Is the chal achas kama v'kama, the mitzvah itself, if you do a mitzvah properly, the way you're supposed to, then it can be ma'akev the peronis, that a person should come out clean without chas v'shalom, any punishments, etc. So again, why did we bring this? The amarov v'chaim v'lulav, the same thing applies to lulav as well. The one means the same thing applies to lulav as well. So 10 lines from the top of the Omid, Rashi says, "V'chein lulav moiluch umevi malu umoided." You do the same thing, that you go and wave it in all directions, as well as up and down, just like we do it during the Nenuam on Yontif. Notice this Rashi doesn't say anything about the ruchais rois and tuloyim royim. So on the surface, you might think, okay, we go through the same motions, but not necessarily does it have that same koach. However, Rashi back on the Omid days, about 8 lines before the wide lines, Kedin Lananea boy, we're talking about, again, the lulav, it has to be longer, so that it should be able to be Lananea, says Rashi, Alma mitzvah Lananea, kidal kamon, latzis la'atzoir, ruchis ro'is, etloim roim. So therefore, although Rashi leaves it out here on Lamed Chesam and Aleph, for Rashi already said on Lamed Zayin, Omid Beis, that there too, by the lulav, if you do, you wave it correctly in all directions, you have in mind, and it can be otzer, the peronis of the ruchais rois, at loim ran. Rav Acha bar Yankiv, mamtilei umaisilei, he shook it like we shake our lulav in Esrik, but he would go and add a special tefillah, if you will, a special yirotzayim, and Omar, he said, dein geira be'enei desitna, as I am shaking the lulav in Esrik, since it has that koach to push off Piranias, I'm now going to stick the lulav into the eyes of the Sutton as if to blind the Sutton. Sutton being who a Sutton, who a Yetzirah, that the Yetzirah that constantly is fighting with me, now a chance here to go and spear him, like using a spear and taking it into the eyes of the Sutton and saying, ha ha, Sutton, I really gave you a nice lethal blow at this point. So that sounds like a very nice thing to say, but the Gemara disagrees. V'la miltzehi, you really shouldn't do that. Mishum di osi li geruye bay. By saying that type of language to the Satan, to the Yetzirah, you're going to provoke the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah is going to say, ha ha ha, you think that you outsmarted me and that you blinded me, I'll show you that I'm going to go and conquer you. 1, 2, 3. So therefore, that's not a good thing to say at the end, but one should have the proper kavanas, and with that, one could be ma'akiv, the Ruch HaYisroel, and Tloim Rai. Rabbi, say, any questions? Hearing none, we're going to continue Mitchum on Sunday morning at 8:55 in a Gittur Shul. Everybody should have a beautiful, lovely Shabbos. Barry, you have a question.
Yeah, just to remind you, we have a Shabbos shiur which I'm sending out now for tomorrow, but next Shabbos we do not have a recorded shiur for the previous Machzor. So please organize a schedule next week so we can have time to do that, either learning Daf Yomi Plus or whatever you think best, having an extra shiur.
Good idea. Yeshikoy, thank you for bringing that to my attention. So have a beautiful Shabbos, everyone. See you all in Mi'at Hashem, 8:55 Sunday morning. Bracha Batzlacha. Freilich and Lechtigen Shabbos.